We continue our learning the Nishmas Davim Emanachos and Michal Yaakov and Pidduch of Salio. We are in Bava Basra, Perek Yud, Mishnah Gimel. Kozvin get lo ish, afal pi she'en ishto imo. The Mishnah teaches us that a sofer is permitted to write a shtar gerushin for the husband to divorce his wife, even if the woman is not present, and Adim sign on it. Why is that allowed? Because before the Takan of Rabbeinu Gershom, a husband could divorce his wife, Baal Korach, against her will. And therefore, Gershon was only, Tully was only dependent on the das of the husband. Therefore, even if the woman is not present, a sofer can write a get for on behalf of the husband. V'hashovar lo'isha afal pishen ba'alo ima. And a sofer can write a receipt on behalf, it's really on behalf of the husband, meaning the woman comes to the sofer and says, I want you to write a receipt because when my husband pays me the ksuva, I want to give him a receipt that he actually paid me so I don't come back and claim it once again. So he were permitted to write a receipt for the woman who wants it to be written so she give it to her husband, even the husband's not there, because this is all for the chus of the husband. It's to his advantage that we write this shover, this receipt. Therefore, we can do so even not in his presence. In these two cases, it's only true that we allow the sofer to write the get or the shover or the receipt and Adim to sign if the sofer and the Adim recognize both the husband and the wife. What are we afraid of? Let's say they only know the husband. The husband comes, they don't know the name of the wife. They don't know who she is. So the husband says, can you please write this get on behalf of my wife? So what's your wife? And he happens to be married to Leah. But he says, I want you to write a get for my wife, Rachel. And they put down Reuven's divorcing Rachel. And they write the get. They don't know that he's married to Leah. So we're afraid now the husband, Reuven, is going to give this get to his wife, Leah. She's not going to pay attention to the fact that it's Rachel's written on there. She's going to assume she's divorced. She'll remarry. She's still an Ashes Ish. Her kids will be on Mizarim. So this, that's a very, very dangerous. So therefore, we want to make sure that the sofer, if you're writing a get and not in the presence of the woman, in days where you could divorce your wife against her will, it has to be where the Edim and the sofer recognize both the husband and the wife. Same thing is true when it comes to the shover. We're afraid that, what does this woman say? She says, they'd recognize the woman, obviously, but they didn't know her husband, so she's really married to Reuven. And she says, I want you to write me a receipt that my husband Shimon paid me the ksuva. So they don't know the husband, so they write Shimon, this is a receipt that Shimon paid Leah the ksuva. Meanwhile, she's married to Reuven, and she's going to give this to her husband, to Reuven. Meanwhile, it says Shimon on there. He doesn't have a real receipt that he paid this ksuva. She's going to go collect the ksuva again. So this is why the Mishnah says they both they have to recognize both the husband and the wife when they write the get, or have the get or the receipt written when the other person is not present. I'll say maybe there are two Reuven and Leah, so it's not going to help anyway. So there we're not afraid. This is what we call two Yosef ben Shimons in the same town. Here we're not afraid that there's another couple with that name. As long as they recognize both of these people, it's not common to have two of the same people in the same city. Some claim even if you do, when there are two Yosef ben Shimons, meaning two Reuvens married to Leah in the same city, and these may get confused. They can only be divorced anyway in the presence of, they have to both be present, and therefore not worried about that. Then the Mishnah says, V'habal nosing sachar, and the husband, though, is the one who pays the sofer, the scribe, to write the get or write the shovar. Why is that? Well, the writing of the get, the pasuk says, "V'kasav lo sefer kriyas sonasan biyada." Sounds like from the pasuk, the husband has to write the get, and if he's not writing the get, so he has to pay for the get to be written. What about the shover? So that it is not from the pasuk, but that's because the shover is written. The receipt is written for his zechus. It's to his benefit that he now has a receipt that he paid his wife the ksuva, so he should pay for it as well. Nonetheless, the chachamim made a takana that the woman should write should be the one who writes it and by a get. Why? Because and pay if she doesn't write it, she has it written by the sofer, and she's going to pay for it, because this way it doesn't hang out in the hands of the husband or the sofer for too long. We want to expedite things, so she'll be divorced. This way she'll be the one to pay for it. Kosvin shtar lelova alfa pi she'ein mal ve'emo. Says the Mishnah that here you have a case where Reuven lent $1,000 to Shimon. And then now they want to write a star. This way the Malve, Ruvain, has documentation, has proof that $1,000 was lent, and hopefully be able to collect from the Love. So we can do this even if the Love asks us to write this, even though the Malve is not there, because this is for the benefit of the Malve, of the lender, of Ruvain, and therefore Ruvain doesn't have to be there. But they kosvin la Malve achehe Love imo. But if you're writing a star, halva, this loan document on behalf of the Malve, then the Love has to be there. The borrower has to be there, because this star is for to his detriment. It's a chover. It shows that he owes a debt. So he has to be present. The Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Gud Gimel says this is all true if this is a star where they make a kinyan when the star is given. What's a kinyan? Meaning they give a handkerchief or something in order when the star is given to show that a loan has been taking place and that any lien on properties of the Lovet to pay back the loan, so they're so all of those properties are mortgaged to pay back the loan, and there's a kinyan that that causes that to take effect. But, so because at the moment that they make that kinyan, the shiba nechasim, the lien on the properties, takes effect. But if you have a shtar, and they don't make a kinyan on it, so then we will not write that shtar, even for the love, until the malve is there. Why? I thought we said the shtar is for the benefit of the malve anyway. Why wouldn't we write it for even if the malve is not there? We need both there, and we need the shtar to be given to the malve, right in front of us. What are we afraid of? Because we're afraid that they may write in the star that the loan took place in Nisan, but the Malva will only give the money to the Love Tishrei 6 months later. Now what's the Malva going to do? The Malva is going to take advantage of this, and he's going to now seize properties, the mortgage properties, from that which the Love may have sold to others with this star from Nisan, but in fact the properties weren't mortgaged until Tishrei. And therefore, we want both to be present when this is given, as opposed to a shtar that has a kinyan. Shtar has a kinyan, so we know very well that if the shtar if the shtar has a kinyan, so then at that moment that they make a kinyan, there's the shibud nechasim. But when there's no kinyan that's made, then we're afraid that the shtar had a certain date, but the money wasn't lent till later, and therefore the mava may take advantage of that and seize properties of the lekul. Close to the mortgage properties from an earlier date than actually when the shtar was actually given. Then the Mishnah says that the money was lent. V'halove no sin sachar. When it comes to the writing of a loan document, it's the love who pays the sofer. Then the Mishnah says, "Kosin shtar lebocher afal pishe lokeachimo." If someone's selling a piece of land, you can write the shtar, the deed, on behalf of the seller, even though the buyer is not present. Why? Because there's no chovah, there's no debt to the lokeach, to the purchaser. And here also we're talking about a shtar that has a kinyan, as we explained before, because we want to make sure that that the properties, that the sale is taking effect at the moment of the kinyan, as opposed to writing a certain date in the shtar when the sale only takes place at a later time. Then the Mishnah says, "Vein kosin the lokeach ad shehei mocherimo." But the other way, you don't write a deed, a document of sale on behalf of the lokech, of the buyer, unless the seller is there. Because, of course, the shtar is to the detriment of the seller. The seller has to give up his property. This should be obvious to us, and we know why would we think otherwise. So Mishnah says, we wrote it when it came to the Malve and the Love, so we write it again. Then Mishnah says, Halokeach nosin sachar. When it comes to buying and selling, it's the Lokeach, the buyer, just like the Love, when it comes to a loan, he's the one who has to pay the sofer, the scribe, for the shtar. The Lokeach, the purchaser, is the one who has to pay for the deed, to pay the sofer to write it. The Gemara says that this is even true. Let's say he's buying a field, an inferior type of field, you still have to pay the shtar for the writing of the shtar, because either way, the purchaser, even though the field may not be so great, he's still the one who's getting the hana. He's the one who's paying money, and therefore he's you bought something, so then it's your responsibility. You're the one who gains, and therefore you're the one who has to pay for the scribe to write the shtar. Perek Yud Mishnah Dalet. Ein kosin shtarei eris Erisin Vinistuin El Midash Shnehem. What are Shtari Erisin? These are the Tanoim that the right, otherwise known as Shtari Psikta. We have them at our weddings as well. How much are each of the fathers are going to give the going to the children who are getting married, the son and the daughter? Gemara and Kedushin on Daf Tes Amud Beis discusses that. Unisuin, what are Shtari Nisuin? That's the Ksuva, the Shtar Ksuva, and the Nedunya, the dowry that's written in there. That has to be done Midash Shneim, which is the father of the Chasan and the father of the Kala, who have both have to be aware of what is being written. Who pays for that? Shtar says the mission of the Chasan Osein Sachar. It's the Chasan who pays. He's the one who's marrying the woman. He's acquiring her. Therefore, he pays for the Shtare, Erisin Nisuin, and the Tanoim Shtar and the Ksuva. Ein Kosvin Shtare Arisus, the Kablonos El Midash Shneim. Somebody else needs the Das of both parties. This is where someone is going to take a field to work it in order to divide it. He's going to be a sharecropper in order to divide a certain percentage with of the grain, let's say, with the owner of a Kablonos. Kablonos is contracting, but that's what we call a Chocher as opposed to an Aris. This is where a fixed amount is going to be given to the owner of the field. El Midash Shneim, both the Baal HaSadeh and the Aris, so the Baal HaSadeh and the Chocher, have to agree to the terms of that agreement and have to be, and therefore have to be involved in this business transaction. Then the Mishnah says, "Av hamakabel nosin sachar." So who is the one who's going to pay for the shtar? It's the aris or the chocher, the one who's mekabel, the one who's contracting, the one who's going to be working the field as the sharecropper or the chocher is the one who pays the value of the shtar, and this is it pays to the sofer. Ein kosvin shtari beirin v'chol ma'aseh beis den al midash shneim. Also, we need both parties to be involved in the following: the writing of a shtari beirin. What's beirin? Beirin, you have this beginning, the third parak of Sanhedrin. Ze beirin lo'echad v'ze beirin lo'echad. What happens? We have two parties, two litigants. They want to choose dayanim. What happens is that each one chooses a dayan that they want to represent them, and then those two dayanim choose a third, and that's how we have a beis din of three. So that's written in the shtar. That's Shtore Berin. Some say Shtore Berin is not the choosing of the Dayanim, but it's really the Shtore, what we call Shtore Ta'anos. That's where we write the claims of the Balei Dinim. And that's the shtar and that has to be done, of course, both midas shneihem. Some say no, that in fact the shtar beirin includes both. It includes the choice of the dayanim and the claims, the ta'anot of the balei dinim, which means that we write in the shtar this person chose this dayan and these are his claims, and this is this person chose this dayan and these are his claims, and that's what shtar beirin in fact includes both of those. And all masa based in has to be done with Dashton. What's Masa based in? This is any documentation that comes out of based in. One of them is what we call Shtore Chalata. That's where we write for the Malve that the properties of the Love are now given to him for him to be able to collect his Chov, his debt. Shtore Adrachta, that's a Shtar written for a Malve in a case, let's say, where we didn't find any properties in the for the Love, and the Love owes him money and he couldn't find any properties. So this Shtar is able to now go around to all the possessions, the properties of the Lover. If he finds something, then in fact he has the right to collect his chov, his debt from those properties. And that has to be done midash shneim. Both the Malv and the Lover have to agree. Ushneim nosim schar. When it comes to the shtare beirin of the dayanim, let's say, or the tanos of the two litigants, both have to pay the sofer. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer shneihem, which means l'shneihem, both litigants kosvin shnayim. He says you don't write one shtar beirin, but for these litigants you write two shtare beirin. L'zel atzmo, l'zel atzmo. Each of the litigants has a shtar for himself. Some say that Rav Shimon Gamliel is only speaking about shtare tanos when it comes to, or let's say the shtare beirin that include the tanos, the claims of the two litigants, and therefore each one needs to have his own documentation of that. Why is that? Each one can say, if you have only one shtar, so it could be each one is going to say, you know, I don't want only one shtar. I don't want to have anything to do with my friend over there. I want my own shtar that represents my claim in court.